Welcome to the 9th episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast, our first day in the Atlantic Ocean. Today we're going to talk about a little animal with potentially the best scientific name of all. We also discuss some more of our favorites and talk about a little hero. On today's challenge, I finally get to test Casey's skills on a game I've wanted to play for a while. As always, let us know how you did. Our adventure in the Atlantic Ocean starts right now. Welcome to the Animal Addicts Podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
And today we're going to talk about a whole new batch of animals. So Casey, what have you been up to since last time I saw you? First of all, listeners, you took the goggles off and put them back on.
Yeah.
I'm taking a picture of you on my phone right now.
That's one of the bonus.
So Casey, bonus content. Casey looks like Jesse. What's his last name? Pinkerton. I think it's Pinkerton from Breaking Bad. He has a lab coat and goggles on right now, and he just recently shaved his head, and it's freaking me out. Anyway, easily distracted. But it's Halloween time is coming, and October might be the best month of the year so far. Yep. Halloween's my favorite. I almost said episode. I have no brain today.
No, you don't.
My favorite holiday. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yes. Sorry.
And I'm the mad scientist today.
You are the mad side. You're early, but that's okay. It's Halloween every week. And
31 days of Halloween.
That's true. What am I going to dress as?
I've been watching Freeform, those kind of movies. Like, Freeform, the channel has those 31 days of Halloween.
Oh, they do all the Halloween movies. That makes sense. What have they done so far?
Hocus Pocus, Beetlejuice.
The best.
Addams Family.
Hocus Pocus is my favorite. Probably my favorite Halloween movie. Anyway.
Yeah, I think they shelved it. They were going to make a sequel, and I think they shelved it for right now again.
They've been talking about... Okay, I don't know where I saw this, so I don't know if it was actually super official, and it was before COVID when everything shut down, but they're thinking of making a Hocus Pocus musical, and I'm all about that. I'm like, that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. Anyway, super distracted. We are going to have to start tracking our rabbit trails, because they're intense.
Yeah.
Anyway, what have you been up to aside from freaking me out dressing like Jesse?
I was getting cut open.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had my gallbladder removed through my belly button.
Sure did. That's why this episode is delayed. Yes.
Yep. Because I had gallstones, so it was very painful, and I had to get it removed. And I found out at my post-op that not only was it full of gallstones, it was also inflamed. It was very large because it apparently was blocked for a long time.
Oh, great. So they really did remove the whole thing, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's what I thought. That's insane.
Yep. I can eat fat, greasy, filled food again.
Yay! Hence fries. Hence wanting In-N-Out. Oh, anyone who's not... Well, most of our listeners are in California, but anyone who's not from the West Coast, sorry. No In-N-Out for you. Anyway... That seems like there'd be more involved than that, but that's it. Basically, you just went in for surgery.
I went in for surgery. I was also my anesthesiologist also told me it's always the young men that are like flailing when they come out of anesthesia, and it's like seriously they're like
flailing.
Oh, what's going on?
Oh, like you're confused.
Yeah, and I was about to do that too. It's like it's okay. You're in the hospital. Like, whoa, this doesn't feel right.
This is weird. Yeah. I haven't had any major surgery. The only thing I've been put out for was my wisdom teeth. And I just, slowly woke up from that, so.
Including wisdom teeth and this, I've had three. When I was a kid, I broke my jaw. I had to get stitches in my arm, too, because there was a piece of metal that was jabbed in my arm when I got in a motorcycle accident.
Ow, I did not know that. How did you get in a motorcycle accident when you were a kid? What were your parents... Why were you allowed to ride a motorcycle when you were a small child?
Because it was the cool thing to do.
Was this, out, in the desert? Like, that kind of motorcycle? Or, an actual motorcycle?
No,
like, on concrete?
Like, a more dirt bike.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah, I crashed into a trailer.
Were you driving your own dirt bike or were you on the back of one?
No, I was driving someone's.
How old were you?
I was like 5 or 6.
Why did they let you drive a dirt bike?
I don't know.
That was a terrible plan. I mean, I haven't ridden one. They look so fun. I would like to do that. But I feel like everyone I know who does that always gets hurt at some point.
Yeah. I haven't been on a dirt bike ever since. I have been on a quad.
That also seems fun. But those are like even worse, because if that falls over, you're going to get squished.
Yeah, but it's more stable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if it falls on you, well, it's going to be a bad day.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a dirt bike fall on me than a quad. Anyway, once again, so off topic. Anyway, yeah, so Casey got an organ pulled out through his belly button. So that is why this episode is delayed. So you get 2 episodes this week. Woo! Speaking of weird thing, not really weird, but new things happening that...
New mayhem.
New mayhem, sure. It's October. October is the month of mayhem. We have launched a Patreon because we are, you know, pretty broke. And yeah, so we have launched a Patreon if you are... want to support us financially speaking. If you are able, we would greatly appreciate that. I did not write down the address of our Patreon.
Oh my gosh.
I put it in the notes and I didn't print them out. It's, can you pull it up, Casey? It's in there.
Oh yeah.
I did. I put it there. So Casey, tell us what that address is.
It's https://www.patreon.com/animaladdictspodcast. www.patreon.com/animaladdictspodcast.
So really, you just need to know the patreon.com/animaladdictspodcast part. That's going to get you there. You don't have to do all the other stuff that we all know is part of what you have to do anyway. But yes, so we have launched a Patreon. As of right now, we only have 2 tiers. So the first level is if you are willing to support us with $1 to $2 per month. And that tier is going to unlock some sort of miscellaneous bonus content. Sometimes it's going to be like bloopers, because we definitely have some bloopers.
My Halloween outfits.
Yes. Pictures of Casey looking like Jesse. You look more like Jesse than a mad scientist. I don't think Jesse actually wore the white one. He wore like yellow and all that stuff. Anyway. But yeah, some sort of bonus content. Also, you can ask us questions if you want us to answer them on the podcast. And you also get a bonus animal each month. So yay, more animals. Woo! And then tier 2 is if you want to support us between $3 and $5 a month. You get obviously a tier 1 stuff as well as a monthly quiz. And you actually get input on what animals we're going to do for a following month. So we will put up a poll and see who you want to hear about. So yeah, Patreon, please support us because we want to grow our little podcast.
We need the money.
We do. It costs money to do a podcast, actually, which is sad and unfortunate. But we love animals, so we do it, and we like it, and we hope you like it. So we want to be able to continue doing it and growing it and doing cool things with it. Eventually, we want to do some merch and stuff, but, you know, we have other costs to recoup first. Mm-hmm. So, anywho, yeah, so Patreon, woo! That's my new news. yeah, well, because I just also am thinking about money right now because, like, so, I, you know, you want to pay off debt, like myself, like most people my age have debt. And my cat, I had to go to Bed Bath & Beyond before I came to record today because my cat has torn my sheets. She thinks they're toys, and she plays with them, and she had sharp claws, and she tore them, and then my foot got caught in one of the tears, and now there's this giant tear in my sheet. And then I went to Bed Bath & Beyond to just get the same sheets. I was like, I'll just get the same sheets I got from before because I need deeper sheets.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have it. They don't have it. It's just a normal tan. They don't have it. So now I had to go drop, like, $60 because my cat's stupid. Anyway, and now I have seashells.
You should just do what I do and sleep in a coffin.
You do not sleep in a coffin. No, you don't. I'm coming to your house. I don't believe you.
Okay.
You have time to make a coffin now. but now I have seashell sheets. And I... Oh, say that. Seashell sheets. Nope.
By the seashore.
No! Seashell sheets. It's really hard. Anyway, I don't want...
Seashell
sheets. Yeah, it's hard.
Seashell
I don't want sheets. Seashell sheets, but seashell I have sheets. Them because I didn't like the other options, so... Anyway, pets are expensive, people, in ways you don't anticipate. And that's $60 that should have been going to pay off my debt, but now it's buying new sheets because my cat is a brat. Anyway. So, yeah, that's that. But I believe Casey had more specific animal-y things he wanted to talk about today, which I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Is it a good thing?
It's a sad thing.
Oh, God. Okay, fine.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot
of... Well, that's okay. My thing is happy. So, okay, you go first.
There's going to be a lot of depression for me lately.
That is terrible.
I don't care. I brings the real stuff. The news.
Life is depressing.
Yes. So, as we probably all remember, there were those bushfires going on
last year
and early on this year
in Australia. Yeah, when the beginning of 2020, that was 10 years ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It does feel like
that. It feels so long ago.
I killed for those times.
I don't want Australia to be on fire again,
though. Well, excluding that part.
Yeah.
Although October's not that bad.
No, October's good.
So, the koala is now being considered for being uplisted from vulnerable to endangered due to the bushfires.
The fires all.
Yeah. So, the bushfires furthered the habitat destruction, and now the koala is amongst 28 species now being considered for uplisting by the Australian government.
Wow.
And among those 28 species, there's 2 reptiles, 4 frog species, 7 fish species, 6 mammals, and 9 bird species.
Aww.
Yeah.
I feel like the birds should have been able to fly away. It's just their homes would have been destroyed.
Yeah. And for the koala specifically, the assessment is focusing on the populations in New South Wales, Queensland, and the ACT. Because along with the destruction caused by the wildfires, koalas are also being threatened with just general habitat destruction by human development, along with drought and disease.
Oh.
Yeah, and the government official in New South Wales projected that it may be as early as 2050 that the koala population there may go extinct without urgent action.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those fires did a number. That was terrible.
And this is just, these 28 species I mentioned are just priority assessments for 2020. The government is currently assessing 108 species in Australia total.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, okay, so 2020 was probably as a result of the fires,
mm-hmm.
but the previous one was just in general, I imagine.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Now I'm depressed because now I remember those fires. Do you remember when those fires were the worst thing about 2020?
Yeah.
Oh.
I remember
we were so young then.
Yeah. There's this one tree called, I believe it's pronounced Willemia pine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a living, you know, how they say living fossils, things that have changed very little in a long time. Very prehistoric species. And there's basically this one large grove of them left. And so they laid down fire retardant and water and fire safety procedures to try to prevent that species from going extinct. Thankfully, it worked.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I just remember stories of, I think it was the wombats.
Mm-hmm.
They had their little burrows. And as they were going, you know, looking for surviving animals and stuff, they would find other animals in the wombat burrows. So the wombats were such good neighbors, and they let other animals come and hide in their little homes with them. I'm gonna, like, cry. That's ridiculous. That makes me so sad.
Yeah.
2020 has been a year, man.
There's also San Diego Zoo Global, I can't remember what their partner was, but they had these koala dogs that they brought along.
Yeah,
with them to go
I remember
find.
Seeing that, to go find surviving koalas.
Yep.
That was so sad. And I'm sure you saw the video of that one that was, like, crying and the woman, like, wrapped it in her shirt.
Yeah.
It was so sad.
Yeah.
I can't. They made me so sad.
This is, these wildfires is on top of, like, a 90% in decline of historic koala populations.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then now it's, I believe the number I saw was 30% of the current population being diminished.
Yeah, those wildfires were nuts. They just decimated that. It was terrible.
Yeah.
And yet,
they've already been dealing with severe
drought. Yeah.
Like, it was getting so hot too that there were swarms of bats literally dropping. Yeah, tons.
That's terrible.
Yeah, because it was getting too hot that their native bat species were just
dying and falling to the ground. That's horrible. Mm-hmm. Speaking of bats, on a happier note, I was not aware of this because I failed at checking the days. This is Bat Awareness Month.
Oh, really?
Yeah, October is Very Bat fitting. Awareness Month. It's so fitting because it's Halloween-y. So, yeah, bats. Woo! We like bats.
Bats are very cool.
We are fans
They're
of bats.
They're weird, man.
They're cool.
Like, so there's typically a scale of, like, how long an organism will live in relation to its body size.
Mm-hmm.
And there's these rule breakers where, like, their bodies, typically larger animals live longer. And bats are one of the outliers. Like, out of the ones that live way outside their projected lifespan, bats make up the majority of those outliers.
Okay. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I love bats. Bats are awesome. Anyway, so Casey's depressing news, but I have something happy, which if you're on Facebook or I imagine most other social media or just online.
Isn't Facebook irrelevant now?
Not for older people like me.
Yeah, but it's eventually
young
going
people
to
don't
to MySpace.
I miss MySpace.
I've never had a MySpace.
I have pets on MySpace that have not been fed or pet in over a decade.
I have no idea about that.
MySpace was great. It really was. And because you could rank your friends. Oh, man, that was rough. You missed out.
I'm so glad I didn't have
Are
this.
Are you serious?
I'd be at the bottom of the list
Yeah,
for
you
because
you could have your top eight. It was a big thing. Anyway, MySpace.
I would never make it to eight.
No, I had times where, like, I was like, who do I even consider my top eight? I don't even have eight people I feel like deserve the top honor. Anyway, we digress. But, yeah, Facebook's just for older people. But I like Facebook because you can actually communicate. That's something that's, like, an old lady rant. But,
okay,
like,
what I usually communicate with is, actually, I communicate with a lot of things. I use Messenger, and then I use Instagram.
And text, right.
Yeah. Actually, some of my friends, I talk to them more on Messenger than I do text them.
Same. I like Messenger for some things. But the thing is, like, that's like an individual or maybe a small group of people.
Yeah.
I do things where I need to communicate with a larger group of people, and that's just so annoying to do in text. Yeah. So you just have, like, a Facebook group. That's the main reason I have Facebook, is to have a Facebook group so you can just communicate with that. That's what we do for theater a lot. But also because cute animal videos and stuff. And, like, Instagram, it's great, but, like, it's just pictures. And I'm like, we can't really communicate. We can comment on this picture, and you can, like, we can direct message on Instagram, but, like, I can also just text you.
Yeah.
So, like, whatever. Anyway. But if you have been on the web, I sound like I'm 80, in these last couple weeks, you may have seen this story or heard a little bit about it, but I think it's just so cute. There is a hero rat, you guys. Uh-oh, drink up. His name, I'm going to probably kill it. I don't know if it's Magawa or Magawa, but he is a little Tasmanian African giant pouched rat, and he's been trained to sniff out explosives. So his little job is that he goes around and finds landmines so that they can remove them so that, you know, people don't get hurt. And he is, like, top of his game. Little mouse. So he was awarded...
Oh,
what?
Little.
I know. He is and also not a mouse. Sorry. It's a rat. But they're cute, too. Have you seen
also
pictures of him?
They're kind of big for a rat.
He's cute. But anyway, yeah. So as NPR puts it, for the first time, one of Britain's highest animal honors has been awarded to a rat. And he's detected a ton of landmines in Cambodia, and obviously they believe that has saved lives. I guess there's multiple rats that do this, that have been trained to sniff out landmines and everything. But it's crazy. So he, as they put it, is a standout sniffer. I appreciate alliteration all of the time. And in 4 years, he's helped to clear more than 1.5 million square feet of land. So that's a lot for a little rat. Okay, for a big rat. But either way. And the way they put that so that we can imagine that is an area of about 20 soccer fields. And he has found 39 landmines and 28 items of unexploded ordnance. And of course, because of COVID, it was in a virtual ceremony that the UK charity PDSA which I should probably know what that stands for, but I don't, so I'm terrible. I'm sorry. PDSA, I don't know. Gave Magua its gold medal for his life-saving work. Yeah, and it's the first time in that they've given it to a rat, so it's pretty cool. But yeah, he has a little work harness. Have you seen the video of him doing this?
I've seen videos of rats.
It's so cute. So they have like the little like string-ish thing, like, and the little areas, and they're on the little harness, and they go and they sniff, and then they, oh, it's so adorable. I love him so much. But anyway, yeah, so they've trained these little rats, these big rats, to sniff out these landmines and other explosive things, and then they go and they can clear an area so much faster than people can.
Yeah.
So it's far more efficient.
More efficient than dogs, too.
Yeah, they're just super efficient. And his little gold medal is just so cute. I'm going to have to post, like, an article and stuff about him. I'll probably post the NPR one because there's a little video, too. But yeah, apparently he's also part of a cohort of rats that are bred specifically for this reason. But yeah, it's just so crazy. Like, it's not just bomb-sniffing dogs or bomb-sniffing rats.
Yeah.
And he's so, I mean, look at that face. Look at how cute he is with this little medal. Oh, I love him so much. Anyway, I will post an article, though, about Magawa. But he's such an awesome little rat who's been saving people. So there are animals out there doing good stuff. Mm-hmm. Yay, happiness. Why am I, like, on the verge of tears today? I don't know what's going on in life.
You're on an emotional roller coaster.
I'm probably just, like, tired.
From
and
dying koalas to a hero rat.
Dying koalas to hero rats. To just, I don't even know. It's 2020. Who knows anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, but yes. So hero rat. I will post an article about him, but he's super cute. Cool? He's cool. Because I looked at his face. His face is so cute. Okay, I gotta put him away. Anyway, but yeah, I will link an article about the little hero rat. I'm not tired at all, I promise. That was terrible. Anyway, but speaking of good things, we have other good things to talk about. I'm not a big fan of Casey's good thing, but that's okay.
Good thing?
Yeah.
My good thing?
Your good thing? No, our animals.
Oh.
It's time for our picks. We are doing graceful segues. Words are really hard today. This is going to be rough.
And we're totally sober.
Yep. I mean, truthfully, I am. Yeah. That also might be some of our bonus content. Yeah. Like, I might do some shots and then try to explain something about animals and tell you something scientific, because that'll probably be a disaster.
Oh, yeah.
So.
That'd be funny.
Give me some super scientific stuff to read that I'm going to butcher, and then nobody listened to it seriously. But
I do have a scientific article I need to read. That could have you read.
Wasted. Great. So, yeah, bonus content like that, folks. Just look out.
Right. Yeah, I had a good thought. I totally lost it now.
I'm sorry.
How dare you?
I'm the worst. But, yeah, so I got to pick our favorites for this week. And since we're doing the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, I decided, let's do whales. Because whales are cool. Also, we both discussed that whale watching was the coolest interaction with wildlife we've had.
She specifically went with toothed whales.
Yes, because Casey clarified, of course, as Casey does, if it was baleen or the toothed ones. And I was like, I can't decide my favorite whale, but if I go with toothed, I can 100%. So let's do toothed. And I already know what yours is going to be.
Yep.
So take it away, Casey.
So mine is not just my favorite toothed whale. So it's my favorite mammal, ocean liver.
Animal,
period.
Period.
And mine's the orca.
Yes.
Allie's not happy.
I mean, they're not terrible. They just, I really have an issue with what they do to the little seals.
Yeah. Well, that's not all of them.
Oh, not all orcas are bad.
Well, it's not. This is why eventually this is going to be Animal of the Week, because I can't do it justice in this small segment.
Okay, well, tell us about orcas. Okay. I'm sorry. So, they are cool, but. Yes.
So, the scientific name is Ursinus orca.
Oh.
And they are the largest member of the Delphinidae family, which is the oceanic dolphin family.
Oh, interesting. But they're still whales?
Yes, they are still whales. So, never say I hear people say it all the time. It's like, orcas are not actually whales, but are actually dolphins. Like, that is an incorrect statement, because they're in the suborder Cetacea, which it means whale. Everything in there is a whale, including baleen whales, the toothed whales, dolphins, and porpoises.
Wait, so then aren't dolphins whales by that?
Dolphins are whales, yes.
What the hell?
Yeah.
This is not true. Dolphin. You're blowing my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's basically, imagine if someone came up to you and said, you know, a wolf is not actually a carnivore, it's a canine.
That's still weird. It's both.
Yes, it makes no sense.
It's both.
Yeah. Same thing with saying orcas are not whales. It doesn't make sense.
Okay. It's so weird, but continue.
But yeah, so they're whales and dolphins. If you want to be more specific, they're a dolphin.
You mean a dolphin is a dolphin and not an orca?
Yes, so...
So dolphins are whales,
dolphins
but also
are whales,
dolphins.
But not all whales are dolphins.
Oh my god, this is awful. Okay, continue.
Yes. And their size varies by region, and they are a sexually dimorphic species. Males average about 20 to 26 feet long. The largest, though, can get up to 32 feet long. Very uncommon. And they can weigh from 8,000 to 12,000 pounds.
Wow.
Yes, males also have these very large circular pectoral fins.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Those basically grow throughout their entire lives.
Wow.
Yeah. And they also have much larger dorsal fins on males. They can be up to 6 feet tall.
That's insane!
Yes.
That's taller than me. It is a you. It's a Casey. Standing on top of a whale.
Me and...
Yeah.
Well, okay. And the females, about 16 to 23 feet long.
Oh, that's way smaller. Okay, yeah.
Yes, and weigh about 6,000 pounds on average. And like I said, they're different all across the globe. So they'll specialize in hunting different prey depending on where in the globe you find them. Like, we have three different types on Pacific Northwest. Some specialize in hunting seals. There's also ones that specialize hunting whales, and then there's others that just eat fish.
I'm going to go with the fish ones. Those will be my favorites.
Yep. I'll eventually go.
They're called killer whales for a reason, man.
Yes, they got that name because they're whale killers. Literally, why it was like, then it got flipped.
Yes. Okay.
And if I remember correctly, their scientific name being Bringer of Death.
Are you serious? We need to verify that because that's amazing. This is very appropriate for Halloween.
Yep.
Mine is a sweet little baby compared to yours, first of all, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and so the reason they have good camouflage, and the reason why they're dark on top and light on the bottom is because it's a form of camouflage called countershading. Where basically if there's a prey above the orca, then it looks down. The black top matches the dark ocean underneath,
mm-hmm.
So
that
you wouldn't
sense.
Be able to see it. And then if a prey was looking at it from down below, couldn't see it because of the light of the sun coming
What
down.
Is preying on a killer whale, though?
No, that they're prey underneath.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, nothing preys on a killer
whale. I was like, well, also you're saying from above, and I'm like, that is a terrifying bird, a flying creature that is going after a killer whale. I do never want to meet that.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like pterodactyl status. I don't even know if they could take on a killer whale. Yeah, anyway,
most pterodactyls actually were specialized in hunting fish.
Well, a whale is sort of like a fish. Anyway, okay.
Very different.
I said it was sort of like. I didn't say it was a fish.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Yes.
I'm driving Casey nuts.
Yep. So the female, their lifespan is different as well between the sexes. Females average about 50 years. The oldest, though, can live up to 90 years.
Wow.
They're also among the few animals that go through menopause.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay, I have a little more respect, at least for the women now.
Yeah. Yes, females are very important. The reason there's menopausal females is because the females have to pass on information on how to survive to the next generation. So they have to, in order to properly take care of their young, they go through menopause, so they are alive long enough to teach
the
youngest ones how to survive properly.
Wow, interesting. Okay. Yeah.
And males, on the other hand,
are useless. Just kidding.
Yes.
Continue.
Well, they are the subordinate ones since they are a matriarchal society.
Yes, killer whales.
Males average around 30 years, but the oldest can live up to 60.
Sorry.
And Allie dies.
I have a drinking problem, sorry. Okay. Sorry, continue on, killer whales.
Yes. And they are listed as data deficient by the IUCN Red List because it is disputed about how many species of orca there are.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
How many do they think there are?
That's up for question because there's some orca that live in such hard places to reach in the world.
Okay.
Like Noah, I think it was this year or last year, got DNA samples from a killer whale called the type D or subantarctic killer whales. They're very weird looking. Is probably a different species. I would put money on those ones because even morphologically, they're very distinct from other populations of killer whales because they have this more bulbous head, kind of like a pilot whale, and then these really tiny eye patches.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now I want to see those.
Yeah. And there's like 10 different types, and that's for a different day.
Okay.
But those ones are one of my favorites.
They sound cool,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. And they got DNA samples from them, and they were going to do DNA testing to see if they are a distinct species.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep.
Well, my favorite toothed whale, oh my gosh, I can't sing it because we might get sued, but is the beluga. Do you guys remember the baby beluga song? It was like a kid's book with it. Casey has never seen it, and it makes me sad. I'm going to have to find that.
I'm an uncultured swine.
You are. I'm going to have to play that for you. Anyway, beluga whales, I'm going to kill their scientific name, guys. And I don't mean that in the, like, I'm going to get it. I mean, I'm going to, like, actually be horrible. Delphinapterus lucus. Something like that. Yep, that's their scientific name. And they can get up to 13 to 16 feet long on average, weigh up to 3,000 pounds, and up to 40% of that weight is blubber, which is not surprising. That is not true. Right now, I feel like I am, though. I probably am, like, 40% blubber. I feel like I've... Oh, my God, it's so bad. Anyway. But, yeah, which is not surprising because they live up in freezing areas, so you need blubber to not freeze to death. Anyway, they have a dorsal ridge instead of a dorsal fin. So unlike the orca, they don't have like a nice little fin that's sticking out. So they're also not going to make you think that they're a shark. So that's nice of them.
Yes, but you're also very unlikely to see them unless you're living in North Pole.
Yeah, but like they're cool. Well, there was the person, the beluga took. No, they go to like Alaska too.
Yeah.
They're in Alaska too. And they took. Did you see the video of the guy who's, I don't remember if the beluga took it or if he dropped it. I think a beluga took it to begin with. Took his GoPro and swam off with it, but then returned it.
Oh.
Belugas are the best. They're so sweet. They return your lost items.
With a ball next to a boat.
That's adorable. I love them. I love them so much. They're so cute. Anyway, I digress. But yeah, so they have a dorsal ridge instead of a dorsal fin, and this allows them to maneuver easily under ice and even break through thin ice to make breathing holes. And they eat a large variety of food, including octopus, squid, shrimp, clams, and fish. They are known as the canaries of the sea because they have a wide variety of vocalizations. I want to go hear beluga whale vocalizations
it's
so bad.
Cool.
We need to go to Alaska. Again, I've been to Alaska. Alaska's great. We need to go hang out and find some belugas. Anyway, they are also... I'm going to kill this word too. He already said it. But among the few cetaceans, which is a whale... I was right. That have a true neck. So most whales don't actually have a neck.
Yep.
These guys do. And having that allows them to swim backwards, which most whales cannot do. So beluga whales are the best, clearly. They're amazing. They live 35 to 50 years. And some studies suggest that they may live as old as 80, which I would hope so because I love them so much. They are listed as least concern on the IUCN Red List. But the Cook Inlet population is critically endangered with only 231 individuals remaining. I also looked up because I care about these things. Average swim speed. They are trucking you guys at a whole 2 to 6 miles per hour. which is 3 to 9 kilometers per hour for our metric friends. And what? Yeah, I know. I should really learn metric. We
so
all
much better,
should, because America, we're just crazy. Anyway, but the max observed speed was 17 miles per hour, or 27.5 kilometers per hour, for a short distance. So that's pretty solid.
But they ain't winning no races.
They don't need to. They're sweet, and I love them. Who are they racing? Who are they racing? Fish? Like that they're trying to
something
catch?
Something might come after them.
Who? Like a killer whale?
Yeah.
If a killer whale kills a beluga, do they hunt belugas?
When the sea ice retreats far back enough, the southern populations can get preyed upon by orcas.
Done. Orcas are the worst. How dare they attack my baby belugas? Baby belugas. Okay, sorry.
They also get hunted by polar bears.
Well, polar bears, I feel like, are just desperate. And they're like, are you anything I can eat? Great, I'm going to attack you. Just stay underwater, guys. Stay away from the polar. Oh, the polar bears swim, though. Yeah, that's problematic. Anyway, I love them. I'm very upset that these other animals hunt them because I love them so much. Anywho, yes, so that's a pretty good speed for that max recorded one. And then their range is in the Arctic Ocean and its nearby seas in the northern hemisphere. So like Alaska and other northern places that I didn't look
Alaska,
at specifically.
Russia,
I guess
Greenland,
Russia, Greenland. Yeah, I really only cared about Alaska, I guess, because that's where I would probably go to see them.
Maybe you go to Alaska still.
Alaska's beautiful. It's like so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Ugh. It literally, when you're driving down the road, there's like glacial water just dripping down off a rock. Like, I feel like I would just take my like Costco, how did they say it at work the other day? Costco thermoflask. Costco flask. And, or hydro flask, sorry. Thermoflask is what the Costco one is. And just like hold it up to the water dripping off. I'm like, this is naturally filtered. Anyway, yeah, I also played in glacial.
I
played in glacial snow when I was in Alaska. It was fun. Anyway.
Good for you.
It's beautiful. It's really pretty up there. Anyway, yeah. So, beluga. So, Casey's favorite toothed whale is the orca. Very appropriately named killer whale. And my favorite toothed whale is the beluga, because they're wonderful. I love them so much.
I know you do.
I know. We're such different people. I like, well, obviously I like cute things, but I like sweet things and you like murdery things. You want like creepy and weird and murdery. That's what you like. Well, my favorite animal is a tiger though, and they're pretty murdery, but at least they're pretty. I mean, orcas are still pretty, I guess. But anyway. So those are our picks of the week, our favorite animals, which brings us to
our animal of the week.
And this is our first one in the Atlantic Ocean. This is where the weird shit comes, everyone. Our animal of the week is
the boops boops.
It's not called the boops boops. What?
That's a scientific name.
Are you serious? That's the sign. Oh, that's so funny. That's right. That's why I was like, we're doing this one. I know zero about this animal, but I cannot wait. The boops boops.
Yes, boops boops is its scientific name.
That's right.
I could not find out how to properly pronounce it, so I'm going to say bogue.
I think it's bogue, but anyway.
I don't know. I don't know who discovered it. That's the common name.
We're gonna have trouble with timeline later, but anyway, continue.
Yeah, and so it's scientific. It comes from the order Perciformes, which is perch-like fish. That is, those kind of fish are ones where the anal and dorsal fins, the anterior portion is spiny, while the posterior portion is soft, which is the front portion.
Oh, okay, so the underside of the fin, kind of the underside, the backside,
it's,
I guess.
Front side, smooth.
Yeah.
Backside, pointy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
That's how they decide to classify things.
But, like, what is the evolutionary need for that? Okay.
I don't know. I don't do fish
that makes
much.
Me think of like when you're leaving parking lots, you know how they have the ones with like those spikes and it's like don't back up because you'll shred your tires. Anyway, continue, sorry.
Yep. And they come from the family Sparidae, which are those fish are sea bream and porgies. Don't ask me on specifics, that's all I know.
Okay,
I know you can find porgies at like seafood markets.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, and like I said, the species name is boops boops.
This is my favorite. Yeah. Boops boops.
Yeah, so the common name, like I said, was bogey or bogue. something. And that refers to its large bug eyes. Yeah, while the scientific name means cow's eye. Yeah,
okay.
That's what boops means in Latin.
They just care about their
boops,
boops.
Yes.
So if I see a cow, I can just be like,
it,
oh, boops, boops.
Yeah. So if you translate it literally, it'd be cow eye, cow eye.
That's
but
amazing.
We don't do that. Because it wouldn't make sense, because it already doesn't. Yeah. So these guys live in the Eastern Atlantic Ocean. They live at around 100 meters deep, which is about 330 feet. They can be found as far north as Norway and as far south in as Angola.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They have a lifespan of only about 7 years.
Oh.
So a short-lived species, which makes sense because they're very small and get to be about 20 centimeters.
Uh-huh.
20 centimeters, 8 inches, a little bit smaller than my foot.
For an ocean fish, yeah, that's really small.
Yeah. The largest, though, get to be about 36 centimeters, which is about 14 inches.
Okay, that's still small for an ocean fish, I feel like.
Yeah. There's a lot of fish. Like, there's a lot.
There are a ton of fish.
Yeah. Fish
there's
are the
always
most
a
diverse
bigger fish.
Vertebrates. And I know very little about them. Only ones I know about are sharks.
Even though you're obsessed
there.
With the ocean.
Yes, but there's other cool things like the invertebrates and the sharks.
I love that you're committed to wearing these goggles this entire podcast.
I am.
All right.
I was taking a chemistry exam once, and it was Halloween, and we couldn't get out of it, so I decided to come in my full Michael Myers outfit.
Nice.
I wore my mask the whole entire exam. It was like, props for wearing that the whole time.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. Continue about
yes.
the whoops, whoops.
So, now, this species, even though they live deep, they will come to the surface at nighttime in order to feed.
Oh.
Yeah, and they feed as a group because safety in numbers, basically the selfish herd concept. I'm with my friends, so they might get eaten instead of me.
Okay.
Yeah. They will eat crustaceans, seaweed, and plankton. And one study actually found that they were looking at the guts of this species and found that there was 1,780 different prey items.
Wow.
From 11 different phyla counted among the multiple populations.
So they just eat like anything.
Yes,
that's what it sounds like.
Stuff.
Okay.
Little plankton. There's a lot of plankton.
Everybody eats plankton. Poor little plankton.
Yeah.
You're bottom of the food chain.
Yeah. Well, they need to be eaten or else the ocean goes out of whack. That's what happened in Gulf of Mexico.
Oh.
Because there was runoff of fertilizer, giant green algae, phytoplankton bloom. Then they all died. Now it's because now the bacteria started consuming all the dead phytoplankton, and now that bacteria is using up all the oxygen.
Oh, that's problematic.
Yep.
Okay. Control your phytoplankton.
Yes. That study also suggested that they are opportunistic feeders because it was found the diet would significantly change during the spring season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I'm just still going with they just eat whatever.
Yeah. So, and they'll change their diet more with the age. Juveniles tend to be much more carnivorous, while as they age, they become much more omnivorous.
Hmm.
Which makes sense, because juveniles need the protein in order to sustain
to grow
their growth.
And, yeah, that makes sense.
There's a lot of uncertainty about their reproduction. It's suggested they might have some degree of hermaphroditism, which is where an organism has both sex organs.
Mm-hmm.
But evidence does suggest, from the studies that we have done, that evidence suggests that is a diandric species.
What does that mean?
That means the juvenile has males and females, but a certain percentage of females will turn into males.
Whoa!
Yeah. A lot of fish will do that, actually. It's really cool.
That's interesting. Yeah. Can you imagine if you could just be like, ugh, I'm sick of being a woman. I'm done with this. Life would be easier as a man.
We have a fish on our coast that does that.
Really?
California sheepheads. Females, when they get large females, will change their sex to male and then sometimes chase out the local male.
That's amazing.
Yeah, there are some aquariums I've been to where they had a California sheephead. When they brought it in, it was a female. Now it's a male.
That's funny. Anyway, yeah. Sorry.
They're really cool fish. Where was I? Yes, they reach sexual maturity at about 1 to 3 years of age. But again, this species, it's a tiny little bait fish almost, basically.
Yeah, and they only live for 7 years.
It's not a particularly interesting one for people to study.
We just like it because they're called the boops boops.
Yes. That's why you picked it.
And everybody needs to know that, hey, there were options. You knew I was going to go with the boops boops.
And
if you join our Patreon at tier 2, you also will get to have input into what animals we choose.
Yes.
Do continue.
Yeah. So this fish has what's called a fusiform body shape. Yeah. So think of like a torpedo.
Yeah.
That smooth kind of hydrodynamic shape. That's what fusiform means.
Okay. Yep. Like a fuselage?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know what that is. Yeah. Oh, but one cool thing is they have really big eyes.
Okay.
Yeah. Hence their common name, which means bug's eye. Bug eye.
Or cow eye.
Yes. The diameter of the eye is actually larger than their snout length.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wait, is the diameter of our eye large? No, ours is smaller. Okay.
Yeah.
I love that I'm like measuring my eye.
Let's get a ruler.
That's crazy. Anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
So, these guys are not intensely fished as food, but they are caught to be used as fish meal, oil, and bait for tuna fisheries.
Aw, poor little guys.
They're bottom feeding, no one cares.
Oh.
They have a very low commercial value because of this, and so there's not like a lot of recreational fishermen going out to catch these
things.
Yeah,
well, there's not that much meat on them, so why would you waste your energy to eat that?
Dishes you can make with them. But mostly it's just collecting large quantities of them to feed other fish that we actually want to eat.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's another problem to talk about another day.
So these are not charismatic animals, probably.
No, they are not charismatic animals at all.
But now you know their name, folks.
Yes.
The boops boops. And now you should care about them because they're Italian? Oh, my gosh. Their scientific name. I am all over the place today.
Did you just say Italian?
Yes. My brain is just shot. Oh, is today Saturday? No, it's Sunday,
it's
isn't
Sunday.
It? I have work tomorrow. I don't know how this is going
to
go. Yeah, you do. Anyway, sorry, but they are, continue.
Yep. So currently they are listed as least concerned by the IUCN Red List.
Mm-hmm.
Population is stable because nobody wants them.
Oh, no.
Yep. And they have no major threats listed for this species. And because of this, being least concerned, population stable, no major threats. There's no species-specific conservation projects.
That makes sense. They don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
But at least yet.
Yeah, but they are found in several marine sanctuaries.
Okay. Well, that works out. Is that one of those, what was that term called, when they have the bigger animals that we care about that are charismatic and that can benefit the other guys sometimes?
Umbrella species.
Yes, the umbrella. So are they an umbrella species, but they're under the umbrella?
One could say.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a thing with marine sanctuaries. A lot of, sometimes governments will establish marine sanctuaries for the charismatic animals like whales and stuff
right.
like that. But then they don't really protect other areas where there's much more higher biodiversity.
Of the smaller ones that aren't as charismatic.
Yeah.
But now, folks, you know about the boops boops, so care about them.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't eat them because apparently they're not yummy. There's just not a lot of meat on them, so.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. Is that the boops boops?
That's the boops boops.
Or the bogey or bogue.
Or bogey.
But they also said like, oh, we got a bogey. Isn't that like a...
Oh, yeah, that's in golf. Bogey.
Yeah, but isn't that in... No.
Isn't it golf?
No, well, I'm thinking four. If you're about to hit someone. I was literally chased by a golf ball one time. They yelled four, and I started to walk away from it, but it hit concrete and just kept following me. I was like, go away, golf ball. Anyway, I digress. No, I thought it was a nautical thing. I think it was with, like, submarines and torpedoes and stuff. Like, we got a bogey. Maybe that's a, I don't know. Maybe it's air. I don't know. There's something about a bogey. It's like a radar or something they pick up, and it's like, oh, we got a bogey in sector whatever.
I could just remember something with golf. I have no clue.
I don't remember bogey being something with golf, but it could be because I only ever did pitch and putts, so. Which means a three par.
Anyway, get rid of a golf course. That's the moral of the story.
His face when he did that was great. Yes. Yep. Golf courses are not the best.
I hate them. Me and my sister both hate them.
Oh, golf is fun, though.
No, it's not.
It is.
Mini golf, yes.
Mini golf's very golf, fun.
No.
No, golf is fun. Oh, no, because you take your anger out when you drive. It's great. And you have to clear something, and I'm like, brr! This horrible thing in life, brr! But then it sucks when you screw up and make it.
I have other ways to get let out my anger.
Really? Like how?
I'm not allowed to say.
It's Halloween. He's murdered somebody, folks. Anyway.
Why do you think I live in a coffin?
You don't live in a coffin. I'm coming to your house. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Anyway, wow, this has been a rabbit trail episode, and my brain's just gone. Let's hope by the time we get around to recording for next week's, the current week's, I guess, since things got behind, episode, my brain is going to work better. But since we've had some downer stuff, This week is going to be about something positive. Ready?
Okay.
So, what did the llama say when he received a phone call saying, "You've just won a trip to Disneyland, but the only catch is you have to go tomorrow. You have to leave tomorrow."
Have to leave tomorrow.
Yeah.
No clue.
Okay, I'll pack up my bags.
Oh my gosh. I should have known that. I was like, is this going to be something with alpacas? Like,
yes.
Oh, my gosh.
You love it. Alpaca my bags. Anyway, there's your joke for the day. But it is time for the challenge. I don't think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I've mentioned this to Casey a billion times. So there's a game called Timeline, and they have many iterations. But there's one that I always tell him I want to play with him because it is specifically Science and Discoveries. And it's impossibly hard. And this is the hardest of all of the versions. They have, like, Americana and, like, music and movies or something like that. They have all kinds of different, and world history and things like that. But this one is very challenging. I picked the animal ones mostly out of this and a couple of the rando ones. I did not cheat and look at the years. So the way this game works, Casey, we are going to put one down on the, I'm going to, like, shuffle these a bit. We're going to put one down to start.
All right.
Okay, and then we each get four cards. And then I'll just say you go first, because whatever. I meant to bring a coin, and I never do. So you're going to take your four cards, and so I'll say this one, for example, because I did not use this one. So one card might be the Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. So we put that down, and then all you have to do with the first one is say, I think whatever this event was happened before or after the Big Bang. So that one's obvious. Okay. In other ones...
That's a gimme answer.
I know. In other ones, in some of them in, like, the Americana and, like, American history and some of the world history, it'll be, like, the start of World War II. And, like, you'll get the end of World War II. I'm like, I think the end of World War II happened after the start. But anyway, it can get tricky, though. Okay. So I'm going to put our first card down. Oh, and let me deal our... Well, I'll do this first. Okay. The discovery, this is what we're doing first, guys, is our first card. So the discovery of Australia by Europeans.
Ooh.
So when do you think it is? This is just for funsies. We're just going to say this. This doesn't go against us.
So I have to guess a specific year?
You can, yeah, you have to do a specific year, but it's not going to matter for this one because it's our first card anyway, so you're just guessing for funsies.
1820?
Okay, I will say 1602. Oh, my God, I was close. Okay, I'm going to do this to face you. Okay, so this is our base year. So now every card we get, we're going to go if it's before this or after this, right?
All right.
And then as more cards get out there, it gets harder because you have to fit it in between. And sometimes they're the same year. So there's a card for you, a card for me, a card for you, a card for me. Oh, your favorite. And for me. We each get four. And then when we do them wrong, oh, I might have to pull more because we're probably going to fail at this. If we get one wrong, we put it aside and we have to draw a new one. The goal is to, we're only going to do one round of this, and the goal is to run out of your hand. Now, do not flip them over because the other side has the year.
Okay.
So, we'll have you go first. That was just our guess for that. Actually, I guess that's how we could determine who goes first because I was closer.
Yeah.
We'll do that. Okay, so I'll go first. Okay. So, I have literally no idea. Well, let me look at my cards. I don't know any of these, so I'm going to say that the discovery of the first mammoth skeleton was after the discovery of Australia by the Europeans in 1605. So, and I don't even have to guess. For this part, you don't even have to guess a year.
Okay.
For funsies, we can, but I'm not going to because I literally have no idea. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say it's after. 1859. I'm correct. Right. Yay me. Now it's your turn.
All right.
We should probably also say really fast, sorry, what cards we got to the listeners.
Okay.
So I had the discovery of the first mammoth skeleton, the discovery of gorillas by Europeans, the discovery of microscopic life, and the invention of insulin. And you have?
I have the map of the ocean floor, the cloning of mammals.
I know that one.
The discovery of giant pandas by Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
The discovery of Komodo dragons by Europeans.
Yep. Okay. So now you go with yours.
Okay. And I say map of the ocean floor after discovery of mammoth skeleton.
Okay. 1959. You are correct, sir. Yay. We're both doing well. Okay. I have no idea. I'm going to guess that the invention of insulin was between the discovery of the first mammoth skeleton and the map of the ocean floor. 1921, woo, I'm right, yeah. Yay me.
Yeah, that one I knew because you know. Not much has changed since the invention of it. All right. I'm going to say the cloning of mammals.
Mm-hmm. Let me move this so you have more room there.
After the map of the ocean floor.
Yes, that's definitely true because I was alive for that.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, man. 96.
Yep.
A year after I was born.
How dare you? I literally remember Dolly. Also, there's artwork on these cards, everyone. Mm-hmm. Oh, we should take a picture of this before we pack this one up. But it was Dolly, the sheep. Do you not remember Dolly? Do you remember Dolly? That was a whole thing. You were a child. You were an infant. Okay, anyway.
I remember learning it in 2000s.
I really don't know. The discovery of microscopic life. I'm trying to think of when they were using microscopes. Was that in the... When was a microscope invented, Casey? I don't know.
I'm not giving you answers.
I know. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it was before the discovery of the mammoth skeleton. Oh, I was right. Yeah. 1673. Mm. Ooh, I almost didn't make that, though.
Hmm.
I'm down to one card. Casey has two. I'm surprised I'm doing this well, honestly.
I'm going to say discovery of Komodo dragon by Europeans. After an 1859.
Okay.
Ah!
What was it?
1850!
Oh, so close! You have to pull another card. Don't look at the date. Okay. All right.
The theory of evolution.
There you go. I have the discovery of gorillas by Europeans. I feel like that would have been older, right? When did they do all the conquering of India and Africa, all that horrible colonization that they love to do? I think it's going to be before the discovery of microscopic life. Oh, but would it be after this? I don't know. I'm going to say it's in between 1605 and 1673. Totally wrong. Wow.
1847.
Wow, really? That's crazy. Oh, yeah. No. And then the next one, I guess bonobos. Great.
Bonobos.
Okay. I don't know that either. Okay. All right. Casey's turn. Bonobos by Europeans. I should. Specify. He adjusted his goggles. Oh my god.
Say discovery of giant pandas.
Okay. By Europeans.
By Europeans. Before 1921.
Okay. But after
1859.
Okay. 1869, are you right? You're right.
Yeah, I'm right.
Yay, good job. Yeah. We're each down to one card. All right, the discovery of bonobos by Europeans. Well, I should have paid more. Oh, I can cheat. 1847 was gorillas, okay. I think it'll be around the same time. I'm going to put it between the discovery of the microscopic life and the mammoth thing. So I'm going to say it's after 1673, but before 1859. 1929. Allie takes the card. This one is the discovery of okapis by Europeans.
Mm. Let's say theory of evolution. I swear if I get this wrong.
I know, you better get this right or else you're gonna be in trouble.
It's here where I'm.
You don't know where to put it in there?
No, I think it might be here, but.
It's here or here.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I don't remember when he lived. I'm not gonna say anything. I know where I would put it.
I know we, not that long ago, was his 200th birthday.
He's playing with his goggles so much.
I believe it is before 1859.
Okay, that's what I would say too.
1858.
Oh, yay! Casey wins!
Oh, thank God.
You weren't rejected from school. They're like, I'm sorry, you can no longer be a bio major. You don't remember when the theory of evolution happened. Anyway, yes, so that's timeline. So let's just for funsies, when do we think okapis were discovered by Europeans?
Well,
gorillas were in the 1800s, and I feel like they're going to be around the same-ish habitat.
I'm going to say between 1921 and 1959.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I'm going to say that it was between 1869 and 1921. 1901. Oh, I would have had it! Yay! All right, that is timeline, everyone. It's a fun little game.
I suggest victorious.
You are victorious. I suggest that you go purchase this game just because it's really fun. Mm-hmm. It's a really quick, easy game, too, and the cards are really small, so it travels well. Mm-hmm. Also, just for funsies, I'm just going to grab a couple others and just tell you the other kinds of fun things you can look for the science and discovery specific one. The deciphering of hieroglyphics. Let's just randomly pick one. The first skyscraper. The discovery of Antarctica by Europeans. The invention of aspirin. The first supermarket. Anyway, things like that. But it's an entertaining game, so you should play it and get it. And I believe that brings us to the end of our 9th episode.
Yes.
Of the Animal Addicts podcast today. What did we discuss today, Casey? We learned about whales, toothed whales, and hero rats, and depressing news from Australia.
And a little fish.
And a little fish called a boop spoops. I'm going to call it by its scientific name because its scientific name is better. And Casey, you won a challenge.
Yes.
Well, we haven't had that many where it's been like us again, like competitive. I feel like we should do more of that.
Yep. I'm on top right now.
Are you just because we've had literally one competitive game?
Yes.
Okay. You better go find something else to like quiz me on.
Yep.
Anyway, all right. Well, that is the end of episode 9 of the Animal Addicts podcast. Take care of yourselves and the animals in your lives and also just animals in general. And we will catch you on the next episode. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
See you next time. Well, not really see. I guess you'll hear us. Okay, bye.